fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. This month is all about celebrating the LGBTIQ plus community, with this weekend closing out the festivities and the 30th annual Pride Parade. As we celebrate, it's important to recognise and put a spotlight on the mental health challenges LGBTIQ plus people are still facing. Joining us today in the studio, live and in the flesh, for a special extended edition of Fitter Happier to discuss all about this is Fitter Happier favourite Jane Armstrong. They are a clinical nurse specialist and LGBTIQ plus project officer in the mental health division from the Royal Perth Bentley Group. Welcome back, Jane.
Good morning, darling. How are you?
I'm very well. Very much more excited that you're here in the
Yay!
Flesh. I love it when you're in studio. Woo! We've got some very important topics to discuss today.
We do.
So this Saturday is the 30th annual Pride Parade. Jane, mm-hmm. can you tell us more about this and what is special about this year's participation by WA Health?
Oh, look, it's very exciting. We missed out last year because mm-hmm. of the lovely COVID. Particularly exciting is the fact that this year all of WA Health have joined together and are, you know, representing.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to have the Health Minister lead up the mm-hmm. The group, and then all of the health service providers. So East Metro and North Metro, and mm-hmm. everybody's got their own group, and we're all walking, and it's one big cohesive group,
mm-hmm.
which is super important.
Of course. And I know we're very involved here at RTR FM as well. We have some Pride festivities as well. And of course, also, I'm going to encourage our listeners to listen to our All Things Queer show, which is on a Tuesday from 11 to 12 p.m., which is a fantastic show. So I'm sure we'll be promoting all of this on there as well. So, Jane, I know you continually speak about the mental health issues faced by the LGBTIQ plus community. Are you able to give our listeners a bit of a recap?
Absolutely. So we know that the LGBTIQ plus community are so much worse off from a mental health basis than the general population. So to give you an example, a trans individual is 18 times more likely to attempt suicide.
Mm-hmm.
A lesbian woman is 5 times more likely to attempt suicide than the general population. A gay man is around about 4 times more likely.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at a percentage for the general population of about 3.4% of people who do try to commit suicide, that's a bit scary for stats-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means ultimately is that people have higher levels of psychological distress, which means they're more... there's higher rates of depression, there's higher rates of anxiety, mm-hmm. there's higher rates of mental health issues, diagnosed mental mm-hmm. health issues in general.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know for the community is that they're also less likely to reach out to formal supports like community or government mental health supports.
Mm-hmm.
They're less likely to seek assistance. And that's because of previous discrimination that they've faced,
mm-hmm.
previous instances of not being treated with the respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly for trans folks, dead naming is a really big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know what dead naming is, it's calling someone by the name that they were given at birth, not what they identify as presently.
Mm.
So it just shows this huge level of disrespect. And, you know, why would someone seek out assistance if they're only going to be continually reminded of the person that they didn't want to be?
Yeah. Of course, and to continually face that kind of disrespect. And I think we touched on it a few weeks ago when you came in for another chat, but it's about giving people that respect and, you know, reaffirming that, you know, we are human and we should all be given that human right as an individual. There's no room for people dead naming other people just, you know, like you were saying, and as well as just giving people disrespect as well. If you're continually faced with challenges, it's hard to sort of approach medical facilities and things like that without almost feeling this angst and pressure of discrimination that Absolutely. You're holding on your shoulders.
The Australian Human Rights Commission released a report February, March, I think mm-hmm. it was, and it actually talks about trans folks mm-hmm. and the fact that they face 60-plus events of discrimination per day. And it's no wonder they have mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. And some of that can be non-verbal as well, I'd imagine.
Absolutely.
There you go.
You know, it's mm-hmm. in body language, it's in facial expression, it's in verbal expression. Mm-hmm. What did I hear the other day? Geez, you look like a woman for a dude.
Yeah.
And it was just like, come on.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know, it doesn't take much to be kind.
No.
At all. It Mm-mm. doesn't take much to be respectful. Mm-hmm. And I guess really it just shows that person's personality, I suppose.
Of course, and their own inner conflict, I guess, and not being able to give people the respect that they deserve. So speaking about transgender awareness, it's Transgender Awareness Week and Transgender Day of Remembrance was last week. Can you tell us more about the importance behind these events?
Yeah, it's really recognising for those people that have transitioned mm-hmm. And for those that we've lost as well. We know at present in the United States that one transgender individual is murdered per week. It's generally a transgender woman, mm-hmm. so assigned male at birth, who's transitioned to female, mm-hmm. who identifies as female. But there are, you know, a few transgender men who are also murdered. Mm-hmm. The stats here aren't as clear because we simply we don't record in the same way. Mm. So we have binary choices.
Of course.
So you're either male or you're female. Mm-hmm. That's how things are recorded at the okay. moment.
So it's not an accurate depiction.
No. Yes. So we don't really know here in Australia, but what we do know is that there's constant violence, mm-hmm. Whether it be physical or verbal. Mm-hmm. And it's not acceptable.
No.
Absolutely. At all.
Not at all.
Everybody has red blood.
Mm-hmm. 100%. We're all human at the end of the day. Yeah. So, and I think I always reiterate this, it's so hard to see that there's been so much social change and progress, you know, especially in the past 5 years and especially even, you know, this year as well, that I see amongst my demographic of people sharing things on social media and people sharing things about their lives. It's so welcoming and accepted, I guess, but there's still some people, even around my age as well, and it just depends on who the person is, but there's still people that are refusing this social progression, and it's scary in a sense because I'm grateful that I'm able to involve myself in communities where people are accepting and people can be you know, accepting of others as well, no matter who you are, what gender background you come from. Whereas it's still brought to my attention that these people still face discrimination as well behind the scenes that, you know, of these welcoming communities, it's still something that is still being faced presently, you know. It's
absolutely
scary in that yeah. sense.
I mean, I think what, and I quite often say it when I'm giving training, mm-hmm. Is what our trans and gender diverse folks are facing now is what I faced when I came out 20 something years ago, mm-hmm. But 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I came out as a gay woman, as a lesbian, when I was sort of late teens, early 20s. But what they face now is so much worse. Mm-hmm. Verbal, physical, psychological abuse. We do know that the rates of our youth who identify as gender diverse is growing. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's because of a number of things. That's because, you know, society is so different now. Mm-hmm. the youth, and I'm talking probably high school, you know, year 10, 11, 12, are, I guess, more fluid,
mm-hmm.
certainly than what I was when I was growing up. So there does seem to be a greater rate of people who identify as transgender and gender diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that there is going to be increased rates of people facing discrimination. But you would think with an increased presence that there would be a decrease.
Yes.
And I almost think it's almost like a change phobia.
Mm-hmm.
And there are... I guess sets of or cohorts of people who do have difficulty with it,
mm-hmm.
But then there'll be individuals from those cohorts that turn around and completely surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we can generalise about saying, okay, so it's this particular era of person that's being discriminatory.
No, it's individual.
Yeah. It's individual.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree. And you were touching on gender diversity before. So what does gender diverse and what does gender diversity mean and why is it important to recognise this?
Gender diversity really is at the base of it is when someone doesn't necessarily identify as their sex assigned at birth.
Mm-hmm.
So someone is either assigned male or female or intersex.
Mm-hmm.
And intersex really hasn't been overly recognised up until, I guess, more recently. But that's for a whole other discussion and the issues that intersex folks face.
Mm-hmm.
But gender diversity really, again, at the crux of it is when they don't identify with their sex assigned at birth.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can identify on a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So like everything, everything's on a spectrum. It's not black and white.
No.
Nothing really is black and white.
Mm-hmm. It never is, hey. So, Jane, we've spoken a lot about the Rainbow Tick program at Royal Perth Hospital. How is the program working to tackle these challenges and how can you see this progressing into the future?
Well, we've just begun to roll out the Rainbow Tick program across the whole division, which is 25 programs.
Mm-hmm.
And what that effectively means is instead of it just being for inpatients, it'll be for community as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing things like the forms that we use. So, for example, when someone first comes to the service, you use a particular form to gather the data that you need. It's changing the way that we ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's instead of, are you male or female, it's, what's your gender?
Mm-hmm.
What are your pronouns? What's your preferred name?
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple things like that make a difference for someone to help them feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
There's six standards for the Rainbow Tick, and it's basically working to get across all those standards, changing the way we practice, changing our culture, changing the way we help our patients.
Mm-hmm.
Safe spaces, it's all about having things that indicate that we're an inclusive service. It's having progressive pride flags with stickers. It's having staff that are trained to an extra level, not just your bog basic understanding, but to an extra level. And we call it the ally training,
mm-hmm.
to be able to risk assess someone. So a really good example is we have a system at the moment that it's called the RAMP, which is our Risk Assessment Management Plan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no indication in there. There's no questions that ask about a person's gender or sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even any questions that ask about Aboriginality.
No.
Or CALD, you know, culturally and linguistically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we accurately assess risk if we don't even have the tools?
Yeah.
So, and tools are quite often a prompt for clinicians,
mm-hmm.
and they're a reminder of what extra steps you need to go to help someone to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not even asking a question of someone's LGBTIQ+, how are we going to go that extra level
yep.
to make sure that they feel safe?
Of course. Yeah, I agree with that. I think even I've noticed, especially with some even government documentation, it's always male, female, or other. And it's just like, what is this other that you're trying to specify? It's I hate it. It's kind of...
Hello, I'm another.
Yeah. It's just... it's
or X. X is offensive.
Yeah. I've noticed that as well. But this is definitely the other or... just unspecified, that I've seen unspecified as well. It's just kind of, I think, yeah, seeing those kind of things is just really damaging, and it's just...
But it just continues that stigma.
Yes.
You know, it says that you're out of the norm.
Two different groups almost. Yeah.
There's heaps of work being done, and one of the things that we are doing is working on a system called WebPAS, which is our main system that we collect demographic data for each individual consumer. So we're working really hard on changing the parameters in that so that we can ask the questions. You were born at this gender or this sex, but what do you identify as now? It's those really important things that can indicate to someone that you actually care. It's not just another person, or it's not the broken leg over there, or it's not the schizophrenic over there.
Yeah, it's more specified, and it really...
It's person-centred.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Jane, how can we empower transgender and gender-diverse people to be advocates for their own health?
Look, I think it really, really starts at the bog basic level of community. I'm always saying that when someone is ill, that is not the time when they should have to be advocating for themselves. Our systems should already be inclusive enough to help these people. It has to start at community level. It has to start at the way we do our public health programs. It's the way the GP collects information and shares information. GP networks are still incredibly binary. You know, and whilst like my situation, I'm very, very lucky to have a brilliant GP. He is absolutely top notch. But unfortunately, that's not the case for everyone. So it's ensuring, and from a public health level, we need to make sure our GPs are across things. And even if it's not an area of interest, which it doesn't have to be, they still have to have a basic understanding so they're not offensive when they're helping someone.
And so they understand things across, not only from a health perspective, but social perspective as well, and change in that regard, and referring people to the right pronouns and giving that respect and knowing people's background. Because, yeah, I think it has, not to me, but I've heard instances where... you know, people have gone into these public health sectors or whatever, and or they've sought out support and kind of had that non-personal sort of approach, or been labelled with the incorrect pronoun, or it's things like that that kind of make that space, when you're initially going into it, not safe to begin with, or you just feel disregarded in that sense.
Absolutely. And even to the extent of when you walk up and introduce yourself at the front reception, the person is respectful enough to call you by your preferred name. Or, you know, and not refer to you as she or her or him or him. It's they or them, if that's what the person prefers. You know, it's simple stuff. Because then that sets you up. You know, you're called the wrong name, so then you go into the session expecting that something's going to be bad. So something happens. You know, and you feel already on edge. You already feel anxious.
I think, I think that's right. Once you sort of create a space where... And I think what, you know, what I've understood, and I think what's also... been changed, and I've seen sort of changes around as well, is just addressing everybody as people, for example. So there's a school down the road, Perth College, I used to attend, and it's an Anglican school for girls. And my mum, who's a teacher there, has recently let me know about a policy. So now they don't refer to the classroom as girls. It's good morning, everybody.
Beautiful.
How can I approach...
Perfect.
Yeah, people. And because there are students who... identify as non-binary.
They,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of introduction of approaching everybody in that sense, as we're all inclusive as one, I don't have to say good morning, girls, is fantastic because it's
inclusive
of everybody.
And it's accepting and it shows that it's a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who write emails and go, hi, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
And even really simple things such as having your pronouns at the bottom of your email signature,
mm-hmm.
having a pride flag at the bottom of your signature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have the very, very beautiful Aboriginal acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add in an acknowledgement to the LGBTI community elders
mm-hmm.
who've, you know, put up with so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've talked about, you know, the percentages of minorities before and things like that. And it's not a competition, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then you talk about intersectionalities where you've got Aboriginal folks who are LGBTIQ+, who face even more exceptional levels of discrimination
mm-hmm.
and stigma.
Mm-hmm. And trauma in that sense.
Oh, gosh, yes. Layer upon layer upon layer.
Yeah. Now, Jen, we've only got a few minutes left until we reach 11 o'clock, but I want to know, for those of us interested in learning more about LGBTIQ plus issues, how can we support the community and where should we start?
Look, I really think if you want to know more, hop on to web pages such as Living Proud, Trans Folk, even just Google LGBTIQ plus.
Mm-hmm.
Just get some bog basic knowledge. Stand up if you're seeing discrimination or heterosexism or homophobia or transphobia or anything like that. Stand up and say something and don't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Once we all start to do that, people will realise it's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And it's even something as simple as another thing I heard the other day about a transgender woman. For a man, he's got better legs than I have. And that was a female that was saying that.
Mm.
It's stuff like
comments
that.
Like these,
it's not helpful. No. It's, I know it's supposed to be funny, but it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. And, of course, people should really be amongst sort of the whole history. Well, you know, the whole history of why these comments are damaging, you know, why, if you, you know, it's supposed to be funny or whatever, but how it can also be hurtful as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And how it's just really...
Well, it's not acknowledging the person, is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
I agree.
Mm.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Record, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you very, very much.
Grateful.
And we look forward to our next chat.
Yay! See you at Pride.
Yes, yeah, see you at Pride. That was Jane Armstrong, clinical nurse specialist and LGBTIQ plus project officer in the mental health division from the Royal Perth Bentley Group, chatting with us all about celebrating the LGBTIQ plus community this month, mental health, and this weekend closing out the festivities and the 30th annual Pride Parade. For more information, make sure to check out the Healthy WA website and pridewa.com.au.